listening live, those that are tuning in, Lord, we ask you to just fill their hearts with peace and joy. And Lord, we lift up Leo tonight with the loss of his little relative, Lord. Oh, help the mom and the dad. How, Lord, I know their heart is just broken in two with the loss of their little girl. Just be with them, oh Lord, the God of all comfort, the God of all mercy. Somehow, some way, Lord, we see these senseless things happen to those that we love and care about. And Lord, I pray that the numbness that the parents and all the relatives are feeling in their heart right now, let them not interpret that numbness as your absence, because you were always near to the brokenhearted. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for this word tonight, Lord, and bless it now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Let's turn tonight to 2 Kings. We're in chapter 5, one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, that of Naaman. We're going to talk about Naaman tonight, and the title is this of tonight's message is, But Naaman Was a Leper. Remember that Israel, the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, they never had one good king. Judah had several good kings, but that was about it. And so here we are at a time, 2 Kings teaches us about the widespread apostasy that's happening, the lack of faith. They've turned away from God. And also in 2 Kings, remember that we're going to see over toward chapter, I believe it's 17, that the nation of Israel, in other words, the northern kingdom, they're going to be taken into captivity because of their idolatry in 722 BC by the Assyrians. And then Judah, the southern kingdom, they will follow in the exact same footsteps in 586 BC as Nebuchadnezzar comes in and just levels Jerusalem and so forth and takes them into Babylonian captivity for the 70 years and so forth. Now, with all that being said, tonight, this great story of Naaman beginning in 2 Kings 5, verse 1. It says, Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Now here is a great man of God. He is a Gentile, he is a Syrian, and the God's word tells us that he was a great general, he was a great leader, he was an honorable man, he was a man of valor, which means he was a fearless, he was a brave man. In other words, Naaman was everything that the world could produce, if you will, everything at all. But there would be no one who would ever, if knowing his true condition, no one would ever want to trade places with this great man, because he was a leper. Now, in Israel, remember what happens, lepers were separated from the camp. They had to wear a bell around their neck, and they had to be, I believe it was 50 paces downwind from any individual, and they had to yell out, unclean, unclean. And so here, in this country here, it wasn't so. Remember that leprosy, the Bible says leprosy is a picture of sin. Leprosy spreads, sin spreads, leprosy destroys, just that's what sin does. And leprosy also ends in death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible teaches. Now, we're not told how he contracted this disease and became a leper, but we do know that it was incurable in those days, and it meant that death was certain. And leprosy, if you go back and study it out, is a horrible disease. You know, it's not feared, though. Leprosy's never feared, was never feared because of its pain, because leprosy does something to the individual. Remember, it completely knocks out the center of operation for pain. The warning system says, oh, you know, I've done something to cause pain in my body. Well, leprosy removes all that. The body becomes numb to pain and so forth. And I have read stories, horrible stories, where lepers in other countries, they literally, they could reach their hand into a fire and pull out a potato, you know, that was cooking and feel no pain at all. Or they would go to sleep at night and they'd wake up and the animals maybe had taken part of their body and they didn't even know that had happened. So this is a horrible, horrible, horrible disease. Matter of fact, Jesus spoke of it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 27, where Jesus said, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So that shows us for sure Naaman was definitely a Gentile. But more than that, did you see that comment that the Lord made there when he said that because of Naaman there in verse 1 again? Look at it. It says, "Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria." Man, it is a sad thing when God uses your enemy to discipline and chastise you. Amen? That's exactly what was occurring. So Naaman was used like God's agent, if you will, to bring judgment in the northern kingdom for their idolatry. Verse 2, "And the Syrians had gone out on raids, and they brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel, and she served or waited on Naaman's wife." So this nameless little captive Hebrew girl there in Syria, all of Naaman's power and all of his position could not save him. But boy, the information that this little girl who just opens up and shares with her mistress is going to be the clue. Watch this in verse 3. "And then she said to her mistress, 'Well, you know what? If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" Do you think that got her attention? Absolutely. "And Naaman went in and he told this to his master, saying, 'Wow, thus and thus said this girl who is in from the land of Israel.' And then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing." You know, I was trying to figure that up this afternoon before water started pouring into the upper building. That was just another story, okay? You know, one talent is about 70 pounds. So if you figured that all up, you're looking at, what, 700 to 750 pounds of silver. And I looked on today's rate of silver. I mean, we probably all have a lot of silver, right, and saved? Uh-huh, that's right. Anyway, that would be at $1,272 an ounce. That's $201 for silver a pound. So that was, I guess, be about $150,000 today. 6,000 shekels, that's about 24,000 ounces of gold, and gold is going for about $1,272. So you do the math on that. And then, of course, the 10 changes of clothing. What was he doing? He was saying, "I'm going to purchase my healing. I'm going to be a part of this." And then he brought that letter to the king of Israel and said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes. Man, he stressed to the max, all right? And he said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." In other words, he wants to start a war, evidently. The king of Syria there wants to start a war with the king of Israel. It's interesting that the first thing that the little slave girl, who's a Hebrew girl, all the way over in Syria, who was Naaman's wife's servant, the first thing that she thought about when she knew about her master having leprosy was Elisha the prophet. And here, the king of Israel, who was supposed to know all about God, yet he had fallen into apostasy with the rest of the nation, he doesn't even think of Elisha at all. And then in verse 8, "And so it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and that he had sent the king to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and watch this, he shall know there is a prophet in Israel.' And then Naaman went with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at Elisha's door," Elisha's house, and I should say, "and along with all of his servants. And then Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Here's your cure for your leprosy. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.'" Now listen, we have heard this story preached and we have read it 1,000 times. And I think that, you know, we can suffer from what's called deadly familiarity in this verse. But do you not, every time you read this, are you not in awe? I mean, listen to me. Here's what you do. I want you to go 30 miles from here. I don't know who you are. You know, I want you to go 30 miles. Elisha didn't even come to the door, man. He sent his messenger there. Just go 30 miles down to the Jordan, and here's all that you have to do. I want you to wash in the Jordan 7 times, and after you've done that, you're going to be completely healed of your leprosy. How many people do you think, if we said that to today, would look at you like you're out of your mind and would never do it? Is that right? That's right. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in your life, and I think I preached on this a couple of months ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, that sometimes God asks us to do the strangest things. I mean, to me, that is just so strange. Here I am, I'm diseased, my fingers are falling off. You know what I'm saying? You're numb and all the rest of it. I'm a mighty man of valor and famous and all the rest of it. And you want me to go 30 miles down to the Jordan and wash my body 7 times? And you said, I'm going to be whole. You remember when Jesus, after he healed the lame man, and there in Luke's gospel, you know what the people did? Let me read it to you in Luke 5:26. It says, and all the people, they were all amazed, or literally knocked out of their senses, and they all glorified God, and they were all filled with fear or awe and wonder. And here's what they said, we have seen strange things today. Listen to me. In order to see strange things, you have to be obedient to God. Amen? Sometimes God asks you to do things that you say, Lord, was that you? Are you sure? I mean, this doesn't even make sense. I mean, like I said, here, Elisha, he didn't even come to the door. He sent his servant to the door. He said, your body's diseased. If you really want to be well, go down to the creek, go down to the Jordan, rather, and just wash your body 7 times, and look what happens. He says in verse 11, Naaman said, okay, thank you very much, Elisha. That's what I'm going to do. No, he became what? Furious. And he stomped away and said, indeed, I said to myself. In other words, he's thinking within his own self. He said, surely he would come out to me. I mean, doesn't he know that I'm famous? Doesn't he know that I'm a rock star? I mean, doesn't he know that, you know, I mean, have you not seen me on TV? You know what I'm saying. He says, surely he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand all over the place and heal the leprosy. I would have said, no, Naaman, you know, for you to see that, you have to tune into Christian TV. You know what I'm saying? Here's the deal. With Naaman, like so many today, I pray it's not in the church. But you see, we really now, we see Naaman's true spiritual condition, or his true condition. You know, the thing is leprosy was not the only thing that was eating him alive. In other words, physically. Spiritually, there was something else that was eating him alive, like it has done to so many people in this world. And that thing that was eating him alive spiritually was pride. You see, when he said, I thought he would at least do something because of who I am. I thought that I could at least play a part in all this. I mean, I have money, I have gold, I have silver. I was going to bless you. See, the problem is that Naaman wanted to be healed on his own terms, didn't he? Now listen, you know what about God? And sometimes I watch Christian TV, and I'm not being critical tonight, but you know what? God can't be bribed. God can't be bought. You don't have to send in this and God will do that. Listen, God loves us. He blesses us when we shouldn't even be blessed. Amen? No, I look at that and say, oh, Lord. No, you know, God is not for sale. Salvation can't be earned. Healing can't be bought. That's what he was trying to, that was what he was doing. It was pride. You know, Thomas Jefferson said this about pride. He said, pride costs more than hunger, pride costs more than thirst, and pride costs more than cold. Good word. God's word says this in Proverbs 16:5. Everyone, no matter who they are, proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? No, listen, let the world be ruled by pride. because it is. But I'll tell you, not those who are in this world but are not of this world, meaning the Christian. Amen? We don't want to be ruled by pride at all. I mean, listen, if you're saved, you're saved not because you were worth saving. I wasn't worth saving. But you know what? God so loved the world. Amen? He gave. He loves people. He loves everybody. He wants everyone to come to Christ. So if you're saved, you know, you shouldn't be in awe that Jesus saved you, but boy, should you be thankful. Amen. Praise God. I mean, if God uses you as a leader in the church or whatever, you should be in awe. Are you ever in awe that God is using you? I mean, are you just not blown away? I'm blown away every time I step in this pulpit and I go home and go, why did you make me go through this again today? Oh, God, help me. You know, those poor people that have to listen to me, you know? Oh, listen. No, there's no place for pride with God's people. No place at all. Pride is from the wicked one. Amen? Yeah, we should humble ourselves and just love one another. Like James told us in James 4:6, it says, but God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. The word resist there means he deals with the prideful and pride as if it's an enemy. And he says, but gives grace to the humble. Now, look what Naaman says in verse 12. He says, listen, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, are they not better than all the waters of Israel? In other words, they are beautiful, and they're very clear rivers, by the way. He says, could I not just wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away, and look how he left in a rage. Now, Naaman's question, he said, listen, can I just not wash in my own rivers and be clean? And the answer is, yes, you can go wash there. You can be very clean. Go wash, but you'll never be cleansed of your leprosy. Amen? Now, why was Naaman so upset? Just the same thing that happens today with unbelievers and believers as well. Why was he so upset? I mean, he didn't have a fear of water. Amen? Amen? No, he didn't have a fear of water. It was his pride. You see, he didn't want those who were with him, those who served him, even though he's out now in the countryside, he didn't want them to see his true condition. You see, he was a leper. He had his armor on probably, you know, he had his little face thing going on, and he was probably the gloves and all the rest of it. And if you're going to go wash in the Jordan, you have to do something to wash your body, don't you? You have to take off some of your clothing. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want anyone to see who he really was. And his servants came near and spoke to Naaman and said this, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have done it? And how much more then when he says to you, just wash and be clean? In other words, what is that going to hurt you? It's not going to hurt you at all. Just do what he says. You know what's interesting is that Naaman, he's in a rage, and I'll tell you why. First, he shows up to a king who's an apostate king, and the king is fearful, and he redirects him to Elisha the prophet. And Elisha the prophet simply ignores him, doesn't even come to the door, and sends him his messenger, his own servant out. And now he's being instructed by his own servants that came with him, saying, listen, just go down into the muddy Jordan and take a bath. And so he went down and he dipped how many times? Seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Seven always indicates it's a work of God, by the way. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. In other words, his flesh became as soft and as pure as a baby. Can you believe that? And it says, and he was clean. Now listen carefully. Isn't healing a phenomenal thing? You know, I mean, You can't put God in the box on the way he does things. You can never do that. God is incredible in the way he operates, okay? But here's what we need to understand. The water from the Jordan, is that what healed Naaman? No, not at all. Listen, did dipping, you know, nor was a dipping. Like you can dip seven times, you could have dipped 100 times. That wasn't what healed him. okay? You know, and this is also, it's not a picture of water baptism as some people teach. That's not what this is referring to at all. You know, water baptism has never saved anyone. You have to be saved first, then you're water baptized. Now listen carefully. Naaman was healed for one reason. He simply obeyed God. He just did what God told him to do. See, faith without works is dead. And here he proved his faith by his obedience. You remember the command from James 1:22 where James says to us, he says, listen, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, if we only hear the word of God and not do the word of God, that's deception. Amen? That's like Jesus when he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I ask you to do? It doesn't work that way, all right? So here, hearing and doing, that's what gives us the victory. And so we never want to be careless in our hearing. Jesus told us in Luke 18, he says, listen, therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. You know, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus, there speaking to all the crowd, he said in Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, it's easy to say Lord, Lord, isn't it? Lord, Lord, just be my Lord, you know? You're my owner, you're, and so forth. But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, he says, and many will say to me in that day, meaning at the end of the age when Jesus judges mankind. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now listen, Jesus in our text that I'm reading, he didn't condemn them for preaching in his name. He didn't condemn them for all the wonderful things they did in his name. He didn't condemn them for casting out demons in his name. He never condemned them for that. But listen why Jesus condemned them. Jesus said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Never. I was never intimate with you. I never had a relationship with you. He says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, they heard the word of God, but they didn't do the word of God. Hearing and not doing is self-deception. Amen? Listen very carefully. That scripture that I just read from Matthew's gospel, it's very important that, you know what, that a person, they can experience the presence of God, they can experience the power of God, but they never experience the person of God. What a horrible thing. Many, many will say to me in that day, boy, I'll tell you, I'm so thankful today. That's not us. Amen? Now, watch this now about, it says, Naaman's flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know what that meant? I mean, if you've ever seen what leprosy does to a person, their face becomes lion-like. It's horrible, the leprosy. Fingers literally can fall off, and ears and your nose. It's just a wicked disease. And you know what? It says, like a baby. What I love about it was when God healed him, there was not one single shred of evidence of his past life or what he used to be. Amen? In other words, there wasn't a blemish. There wasn't a scar. Can you imagine having that kind of skin again? Can you imagine about having that kind of skin again? I mean, come on. How many of you use those magnifying mirrors now when you shave? You need to get rid of those things, man. Because you start going, what is that on my face and all that? No, listen. You know what it tells me? It's just like us. See, when a person, leprosy's like sin, and it eats you alive, it destroys the whole person. It just keeps eating away. That's what sin does. Those that are outside of Christ, they don't know Jesus. You know, they think they're okay, but see, the wages of sin is death. That's just the way it's going to happen. And you know, they're being eaten alive by that sin, and they don't really know it. It's not disfiguring their body. It's disfiguring their spirit. You know, listen, when a person comes to Jesus Christ, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things become new. every shred of evidence according to God. Maybe not the world, but according to God. When you come to Christ, everything, every scar of sin, every form of leprosy of sin, everything that you have ever, ever done in your life, guess what? It's like you have never done it at all in the eyes of God. Behold, all things are new. Old things, oh, they're all gone. The devil's no longer your master. You're no longer walking, being dead in trespasses and sins. You're walking in a newness of life. Your slate is perfectly clean. Do you remember the first time you came to Christ? Do you remember all those years ago? The cleanliness, how clean you felt, the purity, and everything was just different. Boy, how we need to have that kind of joy today, no matter if you've been a Christian 5 years, 5 days, or 50 years, amen? To be washed, cleansed of your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, and to be in Christ Jesus. There's nothing greater than that. And look at verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his aides. And look what he did. He came and stood before him, and he said, oh, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. You see, he said, your servant, his Naaman's pride is all gone now. He says, man, I love you. You're my servant. I am whole. I did what you said. There is a God. He really did heal me. But he said, as the Lord lives, Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I'll receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but Elisha refused. Now listen, whenever Naaman said, now I know, that was his confession of faith. Isn't it sad that the nation of Israel, the king of Israel, that they didn't believe, but here is a Gentile, someone outside the covenant of God, and he believes. What I like about Elisha is that he refused to take anything. Amen? Amen. Boy, that's important to remember. And so Naaman said, then listen, if you're not going to take anything, let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or the sacrifice of other gods, but to the Lord. And yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant, for when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon, that's a false god of rain, thunder, lightning, and wind, and so forth. He says, when I go into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he says, and he, meaning his master, when he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, listen, when I bow down there, listen, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this. And then Elisha said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. Now listen carefully. Naaman is now a believer in God. Amen? He is certainly not asking permission to worship the true and living God and the false God when he gets back home. That's not what he's doing at all. He says, listen, I want to take 2 mule loads of earth and take it back to my country with me. In other words, like holy dirt. You know, if you ever go to Jerusalem, like you want to take the rocks back with you and the dirt, and like for souvenirs. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, come on. No, he says, I want to go home with this dirt and I want to build an altar to the Lord. You know what? I tell you, why don't you do a study on that? Go to, when you get home tonight, do a study in it's Exodus, I believe. I know it's Exodus. I think it's chapter 20. I believe starts in verse 4. But it talks about the different types of way that God says you can worship. You can worship with an altar of earth or with an altar of stone. And it may be verse 5, but you can find it right there. Just read chapter 20. And that's what he was doing. He said, I want to take this home, man. I want to build an altar, and I want to just worship the Lord the rest of my life. Now, the reason that he was really healed, I want you to go back to verse 2 with me and watch this. And it says, and the Syrians had gone out on raids, and they had brought back a captive young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Now listen, Naaman was at a crossroad in his life. He was going to die eventually. Even though he was a great man, even though he was a great commander, even though he was well respected by everyone in his entire nation. Even his own king loved him. Now listen, this little girl could have hated Naaman, right? Think about it. Boy, that'd be easy to do. I mean, you stole me away from my parents. You stole me away from my nation. You took me away from the God that I love. You took all of that away. But you know what? She wasn't without God, was she? She was a faithful little girl. She, a young woman. She was faithful. She wasn't afraid to talk about God. She wasn't afraid to share the Lord, God, at all, her faith. So, see, really, she wasn't a slave, but the household of Naaman, they were all slaves. Amen? Now, here she was in the home of an enemy. What did Jesus tell us to do when we are confronted with our enemies? Remember the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 43 and 44? Jesus said this. He says, "But I say unto you, you have heard that you shall love one another and hate your enemies." You've heard it said. But Jesus said, he said, listen, no, I say to you, you shall love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Man, that is good advice today. Amen? Listen, if you really want to win, do what God says. But you know what they're doing to me at the office place. Oh, just do good. Bless them. Pray for them. Amen? But they're taking advantage of me. I know they are. So does God. God's going to get them. I'd rather let God handle it than me. Amen? He said, and so what did she do? She struck her enemy with love. She was still humble, and because of that, because she did what she knew to do in her heart, Naaman became a believer. In other words, she was the first stepping stone to get him to be healed and to become a believer. Amen? Now, watch this in verse 20 now with Gehazi. But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands which he brought, with what he had brought. But as the Lord lives," now look at this strange language he's using, "as the Lord lives," now he's getting ready to tell a lie, man, and steal, and he's using God. He says, "As the Lord lives, I will," there's that word, boy, there's the problem, "I will run after him and take something from him." In other words, it was no longer the will of God. It was Gehazi's will. Amen? And so it says, so Gehazi, he pursued Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. He says, "Wow, is all well?" And he said, "All is well, but my master has sent me." Was it, you know, you've heard that expression, liar, liar, pants on fire. There it is. He said, "My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, this very minute now, immediately, look what's happened. Two young men of the sons of the prophets," those are the students now at the school, "well, they've come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give me a talent of silver," or give them, I'm sorry. He really did mean me, though. "Give them a talent of silver, two changes of garments." And so Naaman said, "Oh, please, take two talents." And he urged him, and he bound two talents of silver in two bags, so well over 70 pounds, and with two changes of garments, and handed them not to him, watch this, but to his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. So he received so much silver that it took two of his the servants of Naaman to even carry them. And when he came to the citadel or the hill, he took them from their hands, stored them away in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. And now he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, "Where'd you go, Gehazi?" And he said, "Oh, your servant didn't go anywhere." Did he lie again? He lied again. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:19, "The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." And then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you?" Now watch what he says. "Is it time? Is it time to receive money? Is it time to receive clothing? Is it time to receive olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen, male and female servants?" Now listen carefully. is Elijah saying, I was with you when you went. I knew all of your inner thoughts. The Lord showed me all of your inner thoughts and what you planned to do, or purchase rather, with the money from Naaman. Is that what Elisha is saying here? In other words, man, you were going to go out. You already had it laid out. You're going to get olive groves and vineyards and, you know, oxen and male and female servants to take care of you. Or when he said, is it time to take rewards from those that God touches and God blesses and God changes and God heals? Gehazi, is it time for that in our life? Is it time for that right now? Let me say something to you. Those today in the 21st century church, and I say this tenderly, not as a judgment, but as something that's very visible. For those who call themselves prophets today, they would do well to read that scripture right there. Because, amen? Do you understand? They would do well to read that. Because, you know, is it time? Is it time for us to take from up? But when God does something, is it time for us to be rewarded? Is it time for us to take all that? To be, you know, a popular and all the rest of it? Listen, God gets all the glory. Amen? All we are is his servants. Look at verse 27. Look what happened now. Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow, a total leper. He was unclean. He was unclean. Now listen carefully. In chapter 8, a few chapters ahead of us, we're going to meet Gehazi again. So I don't want you to be confused when you see him, because he's not a leper there. You need to remember this is not in chronological order, okay? So that'll take care of that problem. Something came with Naaman's money, and it was Naaman's disease. You know, what a way to learn that nothing is hidden from God. Everything that we do, no matter believers, unbelievers, everything that we do is open to him that we must give an account. Amen? Everything. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:6, getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Now, Naaman's sin was pride. But Gehazi's sin was greed or covetousness. What a sad thing. You know, covetousness, the desire for more. I see you out there, you're driving that brand new vet that I covet, okay? No, I'm teasing. No. I'm really kind of liking Fiats. I don't know what that means, you know? Not that I would ever drive one. If you drive one, it's wonderful. I'm not being critical. Isn't it wonderful not to have, we don't have to covet anything, because whatever we need, God's going to give it to us. We don't have to walk in any sort of, I see what someone else has and I want that. No, covetousness, boy, is a horrible thing. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 12:15? Jesus told us, he said, listen, take heed and beware of covetousness, the desire for what someone else has or the desire for more. He says, for man does not consist in the abundance of the things of which he possesses. What a true word from our Lord. You know, leprosy was eating Naaman alive. That's what sin does. There are a lot of people in the church today, fear, for example, is eating them alive. Anxiety is eating them alive. Or maybe like the prodigal, you know, if you're the prodigal, and you know, you've seen prodigals, they go off and they start living for the world and they're getting in all kinds of trouble. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, every time they sin, it hurts them. Every time they know they're doing wrong. Because, see, they belong to God. Amen? They'll say, well, I'm just going to get wasted or something else so I don't have to think about it. The fact of the matter is, you can't hide from God. You can't hide at all. You see, it's eating you alive. It'll eat them alive. Or maybe it could be unforgiveness or anxiety, whatever. It'll just eat that person alive. You know, I don't know today that I look out and I say this with tenderness, is that there's a lot of pain today in the church, it seems. And I wonder if the reason for that pain is because of our own self. In other words, that we're just letting ourselves being eaten alive by the things that are troubling us. You know, I would prefer to say, Jesus, make me clean. I would say the things that are eating my lunch, Lord, I don't want it. I don't want anything stealing from me and all the rest of it. See, sin, sometimes when we sin, it's painless. Just like leprosy is painless because it's the warning system of pain is gone and you're numb. And that's why whenever a Christian, if they get in trouble and they keep sinning and all the rest of it, it's like no different than the leper. I told you about that leper that I read about that could stick his hand into the fire to pull out a roasted potato, but it didn't hurt his hand at all. Well, see, that's what happens with believers when they get away from the Lord. They start doing things, sticking their hands and their heart in places that they should never, never do so. But when they do that, they become numb because they do it over and over and over again. So it's just like the sin of leprosy. You just become numb. You know, listen, it has to be cleansed. You know, Isaiah the prophet said this in Isaiah 1:18. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. You know, just as Naaman was cleansed of his leprosy, if something is eating you alive tonight, you know it's just trying to destroy you. May I tell you that God loves you, and all you have to do is say, Lord, here I am. This thing right here has attached itself to my mind, my heart, or whatever it is. I've gone the wrong way. I've got on the broad way and I've left the narrow way, whatever it might be. God says, hey, I'll clean you up. Not only will I clean you up, I'll wash you up by the blood of Jesus. And then after I have cleansed you, I will never remember it again. That's the God that we serve. Amen. Father, tonight in Jesus' name, on this wonderful Wednesday, oh God, that you've given us so much rain upon the just and the unjust alike. Father, I pray tonight for here this, we're all family. Lord, when we're here on a Wednesday night, we want to be in church. Lord, we want to be here, you know. And Father, but let's tonight, if there are any here, with no one looking around, no one, it's just the Lord and me and that's it. If something is eating you alive, just robbing you, taking from you, God says, listen, you come to me. I want you. I love you. I sent my son to die for you. You can't clean yourself up. You can't stop what's eating you alive. Only I can do that. But if you will just simply come to me, I'll clean you up right now. And I will stop whatever's eating you up, just like leprosy. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and you say, Bill, that is me tonight. Maybe I've slipped off, man. I've gotten into sin. I'm sleeping with this guy or she's sleeping or whatever it is, or drugs or whatever. It's eating me up. Why don't we get rid of it by simply doing this? With our eyes closed, but just simply lift your hand to God in faith and say, yes, I see that. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. Yes, yes, that's right. God bless you, sir. That's right. I want this gone out of my life. I want it gone right now. I'm tired. Yes, God bless you. I'm tired of it consuming me and controlling me and eating me up. I can't walk away from it. I can't quit what I'm doing. If that's you, last call, just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to wash me and cleanse me. Father, we thank you tonight for those that just by faith, that's a sign of faith, by lifting their hand to you, Lord. And when they lifted your hand, you know, I know that that meant you just cleansed them. You just washed it away. You just forgot it. You destroyed and displaced that which was eating them alive because you're good. You're gracious. And no one can do those things but you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Bless your people tonight, Father. give them safe passage going home. And Lord, one more time tonight as we pray for Jacob and Stephanie on their journey. Oh Lord, I'm so excited for them. I have not seen such tender hearts as I see in them. It makes me rejoice. Great things will you do through them. And I can only imagine the wonderful things they're going to be. Bless them, keep them, bring them home safely now, Lord. Use them for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen.